It has been a while since I've joined you, and I'm so glad. I'm always glad for the invitation to be with you. Psalm 37 that we are looking at today, that we are ruminating on, that has been woven throughout the worship services this month, speaks to us from some of the oldest wisdom literature that we have in our sacred texts. Psalms are our oldest pieces of literature, and there is wisdom in these words. Let me remind you, though, the opening lines. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like grass and wither like the green herb. Clearly, something is amiss if the first few lines are do not worry. It's like when my 4-year-old nephew burst into the room and says, "Everything's okay." And we immediately think, yeah, but something went wrong that could have meant you were almost not okay. Do you know what I'm saying? The psalmist saying, do not fret on the outset, tells me that there was something to fret about, or at least possibly. Ellen Davis, who is an Old Testament scholar, talks about these verses of Psalm 37, and especially verse 3, as she translated this way: trust in Yahweh and do good. Settle the land and graze on faith. This is one of the most arresting metaphors in the Bible. Graze on faith. The effect of the metaphor is not to spiritualize the divine promise that unfolds here. Rather, for Davis, the metaphor clearly indicates that Psalm 37 is offered to people whose food supply is in jeopardy. We have felt in jeopardy a lot these last few years, haven't we, Lake B? We have felt insecure, insufficient. Who hasn't felt that way since the start of this pandemic? Do you know it's almost been 2 years, almost to the week, the last week of February, since the first report of COVID-19 was made here in Washington State? And what has happened since then? We hunkered down. We borderline hoarded. Maybe some of us went over that line. We stayed home. We felt insecure because of the extreme health risk. We felt insecure because maybe we were cut off from people that we depended on. We stayed home and put more air filters in our homes. Later, we bought masks. And once vaccines started to roll out, we thought we might have seen the light at the end of the tunnel. And then we had to deal with the insecurity of paying back rent, of finding new places to live, of finding a new job. Trips to the grocery store have become more expensive. And if after all of that, if your own personal health was secure and your own housing and food needs were taken care of, then there's still all this madness all around us. The rest of the world still has no easy access to vaccines, which has allowed this virus to keep on mutating. Biotech companies are now more rich than ever before. Who of us in the 2 full years of the pandemic haven't asked, why are people with lots of money still making lots of money? Why are the same people suffering but worse before the pandemic and now during it? Psalm 37, these words of life have come to me again in a new way. The psalm helps us face the reality that spiritual living, or more specifically, being a follower of the way, which is how early Christians were called, is not only to be a good person, somebody of moral character. It's not just to exist as a good person, as if you're in a vacuum of all the madness that I just named. This psalm is inviting us to be a righteous person in the land of the living, in the land of the insecure, in the land of the insufficient. in a land where more people are not willing to work for less pay. In a land of the living where the top 1% continues to widen the gap between themselves and those who are in most need. We are called to be righteous people living in and amongst all of these dynamics, not to hide ourselves under a rock. In the passage from Luke, it talks about loving your enemies and forgiving those who have wronged you. For what good is it, Scripture says, to forgive somebody who does good to you? What good is it to be righteous when we never have the rest of life pressing in on us, tempting us? Let me read to you again the passage from Psalm 37. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. I used to be one of these folks, prior to seminary at least, who never really paid much mind to the Psalms because it just felt like it was offering us balm, offering us ointment to our weary souls, but it never really gave us healing. I want to be healed in wholeness. I don't just want to be soothed. We could fool ourselves into thinking that the only way to get by in this world is if we take a lesson from the playbook of the wicked. It's as if the psalmist is encouraging and probably knows the machinations of the human heart and knows how it is tempting for the meek, for the righteous, to take a play out of the playbook of the wicked. And so the psalmist encourages them not to look for power, to wait and be still. For those of you who run hot like me, you might be a little bit hot under the collar thinking about such an invitation to remain passive, to sit on the sidelines while the rest of this warring madness swirls around us. I don't need to mention Ukraine and Russia. You already had that going on in the back of your head. I don't need to mention Afghanistan, you already had that going on in the back of your head. We could fool ourselves into thinking that the Psalms are throwaway texts. But I want to look a little bit more closely. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., one of our great cloud of witnesses, said that only through an inner spiritual transformation do we gain the strength to fight vigorously the evils of this world in a humble and loving spirit. That's what we need. We need an inner spiritual transformation. We can't just be fighting the evils of this world devoid of love, devoid of deep spiritual resources from which we can draw. And so I looked up this particular passage, Psalm 37, in a book called Psalms for Praying. I love this as a devotional book. It's by Nan C. Merrill. If you're able to get a copy, I highly recommend it. And this is how it reads in Psalms for Praying, the same passage. Give no heed to those who are greedy. Attend not to those who do wrong. For like the green grass of spring, they soon fade and wither away. Trust in the Most High and seek goodness. Live harmoniously upon the earth in peace with assurance. Take delight in the Beloved. Enjoy the bountiful gifts of love. Commit your life to the Beloved, confident that love will act on your behalf, making clear your pathway, bright as the sun at midday. Be still before the Beloved and wait patiently in the silence. Pray for those who prosper by deceitful means and for those who live by their own devices. Recognize your own anger as unfulfilled desire and lift your thoughts to higher planes. For those who act out of anger, separate themselves from love. And those who live in harmony shall know peace, assurance, gratitude, and love. In a little while, those who live with greed will prosper no more. The shadow of ignorance will pass as a new dawn enlightens the world. The lovers of shadows shall perish, while the humble shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in sharing its abundance with all. The saving grace of the upright comes from the beloved. Love is their refuge in times of trouble. Love leads the way and they arrive home safely, delivered from those who tempt them with power. Love invites all to open their hearts. This is a beautiful text in the NRSV, but also in this translation of this devotional text. But what I hear in those words, if I meditate on them as I have been this last week preparing for this sermon, if I walk with the words of the psalmist, if I substitute love every time scripture says Lord, I all of a sudden am opened up in a new way. My life now is not closed in on itself, very still, so that if I don't make any move, then I can't mess up. Love has opened me up in a posture of protest. To protest against the ways of the wicked. To protest against those who abuse power. To protest a way of living that leaves the most vulnerable out. Our job, siblings in Christ, just like this paraphrase has illustrated, is to substitute love for everything that seems like judgment. Love will be our refuge in times of trouble. Love will lead the way and invite us safely home. Those who depart and act out of anger and spite are departing from love. We need only to recognize our own anger as unfulfilled desire and to bring that into the heart of the beloved. I have a newfound respect for Psalm 37. Because it's not just that the meek will inherit the world because the powerful have devoured one another. And when we see our opening, we'll then rise up and take over. Might it be that because love is our way, because the unending, unconditional love of God is what gets us up in the morning, we will choose to forgive our enemies. We will choose not to cower away from, but to engage the wicked who prosper in deceitful ways in creative means. Therefore, opening them up to love and expanding the kingdom of love even further. That's what I see in these texts today. That's what gets me excited about listening to the words of the psalmist, these words of ancient wisdom. Beloved of God, we have experienced so much in the last 2 years, and we still have a ways to go. I pray that you are changed in your inward being, that you have fallen in love with your neighbor more, that you have changed the metrics of what it means to be a good neighbor, that you have had household conversations about what is enough and what is scarcity. And I pray that the words of the psalmist might continue to make a home in your heart. Trust in love and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Commit your way to love, and it will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to love, trust in love, and love will act on your behalf. This is my hope, not just for you, but for all of us who are raising one another in this newly remade global community. Beloved, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise, and we ask that you continue to shed light on passages like these words of the psalm that often elude us, often have us bristling that they are not active enough, but have us sit in the presence of love. Have us feel your love filling us up and surrounding us. And help us to see that will change our orientation to the day, that will change our orientation to one another. Loving God, we give you thanks for these words. They are words of wisdom. And they're not to be tucked away. Oh God, they're to be engaged. They're to help us get up and move. They're to help us be shoulder to shoulder with one another in new ways. For the future, oh God, does not belong to the wicked. It belongs to we who put our trust and hope in the love that demands justice for each one, in the love that makes peace where there's only war, in the love that motivates us so that all might have enough. We pray this in the hopeful and healing name of Jesus the Christ through the power of the Spirit. Amen.